Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, family. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, grateful, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. Oh, wow. You know, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus and on the word, God's will, not knowing I would be in James chapter 4 this morning. You know, not thinking about it, knowing but not thinking about it. And having a heart filled, knowing that someone I cared about a lot has transitioned. And not only have they transitioned, but they transitioned holding my hand as I prayed. God's will. And coming to the realization that God's will is not always ours, but it's always the best. And that Mary, Mary song yesterday came to my mind this morning as I was coming on the air. Those words hit me. I've had enough heartaches. I've had enough headaches. I've had so many ups and downs. So much more than I can take. But see, I decided that I cried my last tears yesterday. Because we give thanks when someone we care about transitions. We've heard from them was, I love you. We take comfort in those words. We take comfort that we were loved and that we loved. So I say today, don't take your tomorrow because somebody didn't get a today. So I tell you this morning, as we go through this word, remember to use every day as if it shall last. Because God does not always promise us a tomorrow. So my condolences to the bereaved family. And I can honestly say that I have never known anybody in any family that loves so much as the family I worked for. And unfortunately, I cannot give their name because of confidentiality. But they know who they are. God knows who they are. And I'm grateful that they took me into their lives and home and love. Because the love was mutual. I never experienced transitioning before. Because when my husband transitioned, I didn't know I was not awake. I came in close to the end as I tried to save his life. And as my son tried to save his life. But I know that God's will pray that you love, that you love your mothers, that you love your fathers, that you love those senior citizens God puts in your life as surrogate parents, as surrogate mothers, as surrogate fathers. Love them with every part of you. If you are called to be a caregiver, be the best that you can be. And love. Because love is patient. And love is kind. And the greatest of faith, hope, and love is love. Have faith that God sends you where he needs you to go, where you bring the face of the Father with you, the hope and the love of Jesus Christ, wherever you go. Take love with you, because that is God's will. So no more commentary this morning. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, I come to you with a humble heart, open and ready to receive the word that you give me to speak. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, my very humble heart, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Today and always, God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. But Father God, again, you are the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And I lift this word to you, giving it to you with a humble, loving heart, my Father. I am your daughter, and it's in the name of your mighty and matchless Son and my Savior Jesus Christ. I pray for strength. I pray for the words to come out the way you want them to come out as I go into the background. Father God, I ask you to come to the forefront and speak through me. When I can't speak for myself, again, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. As I said earlier, I cried my last tears yesterday for what was gained in heaven. That's what it was gained in heaven. That's the best way to say it. What was gained in heaven. And I say to you today, when you hear the adage, it runs in threes. I can attest to that. As many of you that listen to me always and all the time know, on the 29th of October, I lost a good friend, a client, because I am called to be a caregiver. And it is a calling, and I am grateful for it, because God did it. God called me to this profession and sent the word through a prophet. Not once, not twice, but three times. And the third time, I accepted the calling. And I'm grateful that I did. And the one thing I say to you, you will lose clients. You will lose people that you love. But you do the job, because God called you to it. You know, this morning, I woke up to a word that said, God loves you. God loves you. Could only say thank you. Or no, not God loves you. That was me saying God loves you. It was God is with you. And I thank God for Dr. Cindy Trim who sent that message out this morning. That's what I woke up to. God is with you. And I say this morning to all of you, God is with you too. And let's get into a word from God this morning. And for those that are just joining us, this is a Bible study to read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. 1 year of Bible reading to read the entire Bible. Every word. And I always laugh. I said the boring stuff as well as the not so boring stuff. Because every word of God is important. Don't get it twisted. It is all important and all for a reason and a purpose. And when you read it, know it, that it is for a purpose. Because there are those that will give you a word of God out of context. And you won't know it's out of context unless you've read it yourself. And so I tell you this, and I say this as just an instruction. When you go to church and your pastor gives you scripture, write it down. Then go home and read it for yourself. Because sometimes the word may not be in the context that God wrote it in. And so as we go into this word this morning, we all have heard of the dry bones, of the dead bones that were made alive. Let's read it in context. Let's read James in context. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And we have paraphrased it into God's will. And everything in our life should always be God's will. And so let's see what Ezekiel is doing today. We may go a little bit over, so please stay with me. And it says this in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we'll be reading today, Ezekiel chapter 37 through 38, verse 23. We will also have Psalms 132, verses 1 through 9, Proverbs 29 and 4. And our main word for this morning is coming out of James chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. And the word of God just came to me saying, start with James and then work into those dry bones. Because everything, again, is the will of God. And this is what God's word says in James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. But this is the word that we need to put in our hearts. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. We heard that term, asking you shall receive. And then you get mad when you don't receive what you're asking for. Because why don't you receive it? Because you ask amiss. And this is what it says, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Getting that word in context. And then it goes on to tell us in verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Catch it. Hold on to it. Or do you think that The scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. We got to humble our hearts before God. Humbling our hearts before God. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But understand, we have heard all the time, resist the devil and he will flee. But we forget the rest of it. Therefore, submit to God. To God first. I didn't mean for this to be a preaching sermon, but God said, give my word. My word, not your word, but my word. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the first part is what we have to do first. Submit to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. You sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Not my words, but God's words. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You can't be in the world and of God. Can't have it both ways. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I thank God for the lifting up. Because we don't weep in sorrow. We weep in joy because we know that someone we love has gone to the Father. Because his word tells us so. Absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. And when we take that, we can take joy in that the person we love is in the presence of the other that we love, which is God. Whew, and this is a word that we all need to take to heart in this day of turmoil and confusion and strife that the sneaky, low-down, dirty snake even tries to bring into the house of God. Oh, he thinks he's slick. He'll bring it in on the guise of, quote-unquote, a prophetic word. But all it is the devil trying to ease into the house of God, just like he eased into the garden. Just like he eased up to Jesus after he had been on fasting for 40 days in consecration. Just like he eases up to you when you're going through. But this is what the word of God says. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. And I take this to heart because I know my mouth can go there. That little nasty tongue behind my teeth. Knowing that it can go there sometimes. And I say, Lord, forgive me. Let me speak graciousness. Let me speak love. Let me speak kindness. Let me speak positivity and not negativity. Let me shake off the negative. Because, again, the word of God, not my word, but God's word. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And I ask God to remove my judgmental spirit because I can have one. I can't speak for y'all. I can only speak for myself. It says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And I have to say again, forgive me, Lord, for my judgmental spirit. because God will humble you. He will take you down to show you who is God. Not trying to preach today, but when the message comes, not mine, but God's. We better understand that we spoke on it yesterday. This little thing behind our teeth can get us in all kind of trouble. But when we speak life, when we speak love, when we speak the peace and joy that comes only from God and shake off judging, God gets the glory. And I'm going to read this again, verses 11 and 12, one more time. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And I say it, I'm nothing, and I can't judge. And again, ask God, forgive me if I have had a judgmental spirit, because I am nothing compared to my God, to my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I give myself away to be used by him, to be used by them, to be used by all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to give not my word, but God's word. And it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. And this is a word today. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Or paraphrase it. Will. And I learned to say that every time I leave my clients' homes, I'll see you tomorrow, God's will. I'll see you next week, God's will. Because it is God's will. As I said, it runs in threes. October 29th, I lost the client, and I said to him as I left, I'll see you on Monday. Actually, no. I'll see you on Thursday, actually. God's will. It wasn't God's will. On Friday, I went to see my father-in-law in the hospital, and I said, I'll see you later because I'm not saying goodbye. God's will. And the next time I saw him was 2 weeks ago, Friday, when I went to his funeral. On last Friday, someone, after he said, I love you, and I said, I love you too, and I'll see you on Monday, God's will. And when I saw him on yesterday, it was me who he chose. Hold his hand as he transitioned into being with the Lord. And I'm grateful that God's will was to give me an opportunity to say goodbye and I love you one more time. as he transitioned. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A little more time. And gave his family peace. So I thank God that his will was for me to have closure. And to be grateful and thankful for wonderful senior citizens, young men from 81 to 96 who poured into my life for a long time, 43 years. One was just 3 and one was just a few months. But I'm grateful and I'm thankful and I'm truly, truly blessed to have had those 7 months complete. Died at 250. Complete. And very blessed to be a child of God and to know that God is always in control and that is always his will and not ours. And as the word says, as we finish this James word, then we're going to go back into our Old Testament. And it says this. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. Here's for a little time. And then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, one more time, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So from this word I say to you today, do good. It is God's will. And as we go back into some life lessons from James, it says this in James 4 and 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Praise the Lord. This is another way of saying, as Dr. Stanley says, as God spoke through Samuel the prophet, those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. They should be lightly esteemed. We got to honor God in everything we do. And that is one of the tenets of my job. When I walked through the doors of that company and I looked on the wall and it says one of the things of that company's motto, honor God in all we do. And I pray every day as I go to work that I honor God in everything that I do for the people I work for my clients, that I honor God and that I take him with me wherever I go because it's not my will but his will. As he said in his word, do not know what will happen tomorrow. If the Lord wills, should always be us. Absolute. And so, today I say to you, if the Lord wills, we will continue in this word. Hallelujah. And James 4 and 17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. When God puts a burden on our hearts for someone, we dare not shove the inclination to the back of our minds. If we do such a wicked thing, ask John, how does the love of God abide in us? If God puts someone on your heart to call today, call them today. If God says, go and see this person or that person, go today. If God says, I need you to pray for, pray today. Stop what you're doing and pray right then and right there. When God told me to get my sons and see my father-in-law for Father's Day, I didn't say, okay, God, we'll go next year, charge of the kitchen at church, and the women's ministry's got to cook, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. No. I said to my pastor, God has told me I have to go and see my father-in-law for Father's Day, and I got to take my sons. It was no, can we do it next week? Can we do it next year? It was we go for this year, for this Father's Day. And we did. And I'm grateful because it was the last time we got to laugh and talk and be with him. And it was their last time being able to touch and feel and take pictures with their grandfather. When God said, go and pray, he was having a rough time. He was tossing. He was turning. And God said, pray calmness over him. Anoint him. Give him a kiss. And I did it. 11 hours in one day. To and from. Because God said, do it. And I did it. And I'm grateful. Because I got closure. When God said, I know your mama's coming and you got to do some house cleaning and you got to get some cooking done, maybe you ought to, you know, the devil said, why don't you just take the week off? But God said, you got to go to work next week. Don't take any time off. When I did my schedule, you know, I was thinking about just taking the whole week off. And I heard a voice of God say, work. You work it out. Everything you work out. Work. Go to work. And I didn't take any time off. I'm grateful I did not take the day off because I would have missed a move of God in my life and in the life of my family that I worked for. I'm grateful that I listened to the voice of God. When he says, go, I go. I learned that the hard way. When God speaks to your spirit, do something, do it then. Don't wait. Tomorrow is not promised for any of us. Live today with a hope for tomorrow. The Lord's will. May the Lord will it. So let's get into Ezekiel, because Ezekiel, whoo, the prophet has got a lot to say today. And God has a lot to say to us today. And this is what Ezekiel says. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put things, bones and muscles, on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, ligament and all the things that go in our body, skin and cells and all these things. Every little piece that we need for flesh to grow inside and out. He's going to put us back together again. And it says this, cover with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Again, when God says do, do. God told Ezekiel, prophesy to these dry bones. And you're looking around like, wait a minute, this is burial ground. What? But he didn't say, what? He didn't say, they dead. They dry. There ain't nothing on them. There's not any ligaments. There's nothing on these pieces of bones. What? Instead, he said, so I prophesied. As I was commanded and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the scene and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have opened, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken if and performed it, says the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, as you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand, and the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from amongst the nations wherever they have gone and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. What a word. Ezekiel chapter 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, and prince of Rosh Meshach, and Tubal, the prophecy against, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed in a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his troops, the house of Tugarma from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourselves and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered after you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which have long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and again a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish. And all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away livestock and goods, and to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to God, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples, with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company with a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And it will come to pass at the same time, when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against God throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstorms, fire, and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Don't play with God. With God. And I have a life example. And it says this, watching dead bones come alive, Ezekiel 37:14. Dust swirled in the air as the soldiers groaned, stretched and rubbed their eyes. Ezekiel was confounded. Just moments earlier, the same dust that now clouded the air had lain undisturbed on the ground. The thick layer had covered bones that remained in the valley from an ancient battle. The bones were old and dry. So much time had passed since they had been functioning parts of human bodies. There was no longer any evidence of the flesh that once covered them. No life or hope resided in this desolate valley. Yet the Spirit of the Lord had breathed life into them. And now before Ezekiel stood an army of men, they were alive. Each forgotten faith, the strength in each ancient hand was restored in this valley of death. The Lord brought life, and through this miracle of the Lord's power, Ezekiel understood that the Lord had great plans for the nation of Judah. Hope was rare during the era of Judah's history. Ezekiel himself must have felt as desolate and useless as the piles of bones that had lain before him. Babylon had invaded and conquered the holy city of Jerusalem and seemingly had destroyed the nation of Yahweh. The strategy of the Babylonian army was simple and brilliant: deportation and scattering of the peoples. They conquered so that there could be no regrouping or retaliation. Communities were torn asunder, families were separated, and even the temple was destroyed. As Ezekiel sat on the banks of the Kabar River in Babylon, he must have plundered God's will for Judah and realized that only a miracle could bring the people who have been scattered back together. Only the mighty working of the Lord could rebuild the devastated nation. Yet when God brought Ezekiel to the valley, the miracle of life was before him. Where there were only bones, the Lord added muscle and tendons and tissue, and in those restored all silent bodies. The Lord breathed life. He would do the same with Judah. He would take the spiritually dead, scattered nation and by his might bring it back to life. The name Ezekiel means God is strong. But who could know the strength and power that the Lord had chosen to show to Judah? As Ezekiel watched the Lord's work with dismay, he heard the Lord's promise, "I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." In your own life, you may find yourself feeling disappointed, depressed, desperate, disheartened, disillusioned, and even feeling as if parts of you are dead. Your valley of dry bones may be a great loss. A failed relationship, an illness that consumes you, or a circumstance which is beyond your control. Trials will come throughout your life which seem impossible to overcome. But Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," John 16:33. There is life in the valley. The same God who breathed life into the old dry bones sustains you today. He is able to infuse you with new life and hope. He is able to make a new creation out of you and restore your hopes and dreams. He is able to take your valleys of pain and defeat and fill them with victory. To be mighty in spirit is not about living a perfect trial-free life. It's about facing your trials with the knowledge that the Lord is mighty to save and able to bring life where there was only death. He works in miraculous ways for each of his children. Ezekiel was astounded by the miracle, and he believed that God would do as he promised. History shows that God faithfully returned the nation of Judah to the land of its inheritance. When you're in the valley, hope may seem far away, but God is there for you. He is planning the moment when he will breathe life into your old dry bones. Take heart. Just as the victory was near for Ezekiel and the nations of Judah, God is near to you just one breath from God, and you will live. Your life will never be the same. Whew, that was a word for me. I say that, and I hope it was a word for you. And as we go into some life lessons, Ezekiel 38:16, I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God. Just as God used stubborn Pharaoh to gain glory for himself in the eyes of the watching nation, Joshua 2:10 and 9:9, so will he use God one day to again gain glory for himself on the world stage. Ezekiel 38:23, I will be known in the eyes of many nations. The entire world has always been in God's divine sight. He wants to bless and favor the whole earth with his glory and bring all nations into a joyful and obedient walk with him. And going over to James 4:2 one more time. You do not have because you do not ask. Why does God make us ask him for what we need and want rather than just giving it to us without asking? For one thing, he knows that if he did not set it up this way, he might never get the fellowship with you. Don't ask amiss. That's the one thing we still should take out of it. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And I said this. Been there, done that. Got the ask amiss t-shirt. But I thank God that he has humbled me, that he has given a lot, and it's been for a purpose and a reason. And I'm grateful because I know that all things work for my good according to his purpose for me. I believe that. And as we go to our psalm word this morning, it's in Psalms 132:1-9. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrath. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Hallelujah. As you know, all through Samuel, David did not like, not have, he had a house, and he wanted a house for God. But God said, it's not for you to build. Too much blood on your hands. But your son will build me a house. And Solomon built a temple of magnificence for God in the Ark of the Covenant. What a mighty God we serve. Proverbs 29:4, the king established the land by justice, but he receives bribes, overthrows it. The one thing we learn is be honest. In everything you do, be honest. Be honest. It's the will of God for all of us. Be humble to others the way we need to be treated. And above all, love God. And remember that nothing happens unless God wants it to. Nothing. You've read that. Because God is what? Everywhere. Read that too. Because God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Read that too. God's word is true. Everything we know and believe comes out of this basic instruction before leaving earth. Read it yourself. Study it. Take on it day and night. And watch God lift up your heart. Lift up your spirit. Change your mourning into joy. He will have you dancing. He will have you singing. He will have you filled with his hope for a future. And remember, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. But the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. These are commandments that we stand on and believe 100%. Because when you love God, you're going to honor him. You're not going to have any other gods before him. You're going to remember his holy day. You're going to not make idols. You're not going to do all the things that are in the top five of the Ten Commandments. When you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And when you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you will not covet. You will not steal. You will not kill. You will not destroy. You will honor God. You will honor your mothers and your fathers. You will honor and love each other. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. And thank him for the good times. And thank him as well for the bad times. Because God is with you through your good, through your bad, and through your downright, always there. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ this morning. Good morning. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. Look at my sister. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Woo! Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. And as always, Sister Carolyn knows what to say because God puts it in the spiritual wind. So I thank God for each of you. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for hearing my testimony. And this is what God, I put in my word for today. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And it says all thoughts and things for the future come down to four words. If the Lord's will or to God's will. I pray that God will bless you all with amazings today because tomorrow isn't promised. May it be if the Lord wills, you will have many more tomorrows in this life. And I say today, as we depart from each other, may the Lord watch, bless, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. And this I add, may God bless and keep you in his loving arms today and forevermore. His will, not ours. And I say that in the name of Christ Jesus, may God bless you and keep you always. It's a wrap. Thank you again for listening in this morning, and may you be blessed. It's a wrap. Love you all. Mr. Peace.